Well, President Biden is expected to address the nation this afternoon as the security situation over in Afghanistan deteriorates quickly overnight. We saw scenes of chaos play out at Kabul airport as Afghans rush to evacuate, with the Taliban taking over the capital city. For more on what's playing out in Afghanistan, let's bring in our two guests. We've got Brian Katula, senior fellow at American Progress. We've also got William Wexler, director of the Rafiq Hariri Center and Middle East Programs at the Atlantic Council. And William, I'd love to start with you. We've obviously seen plenty of finger pointing over the last 24 hours. Democrats saying that, look, it was President Trump that negotiated directly with the Taliban, tied the hands of President Biden. And then you've got Republicans who are saying that the president grossly miscalculated how quickly things would fall over in Afghanistan. How are you looking at all the dots that have connected over the last few days and what it means for security in the region?
Thank you very much for having me. I think that there's far enough blame to go around. This is a common tragedy that both Republicans and Democrats in Washington, D.C. Bear blame for. But of course, it's happening on President Biden's watch. The immediate task right now is to get people out of Afghanistan. That includes not just Americans, but it includes the Afghans who worked with us. It includes other foreign nationals. I wish that the administration was conducting a full-fledged non-combatant evacuation operation instead of a relatively piecemeal approach that we see right now.
Hey, it's Brian. I want to direct this question to the other Brian, just kind of asking about on that point, how this affects just the American credibility in the foreign policy space, not just necessarily the handling over the last 20 years of what's happened in Afghanistan, but specifically the evacuation efforts, as you see some of these harrowing images of people trying to cling to planes at the airport there in Kabul. How do you think that this affects the international community's view of American foreign policy?
It looks awful. President Biden said he wanted an orderly withdrawal, and those images contradict that. And this episode is just the latest in a series of events stretching back four presidents, from George W. Bush to Barack Obama to Donald Trump and now Joe Biden, where we've had successive presidents outline certain things they want to get done in the world, whether it's to stop North Korea from getting a nuclear weapon, stabilize Iraq, a number of other things. And it's this crisis of effectiveness that Americans see when they see what we're doing in the world. But importantly, our adversaries and competitors see it as well. So when we fall short, I think it does have a serious damage in terms of, and fall short of the goals that we've stated for ourselves. It actually damages our ability to get other things done in the world. And that's why I think the sniping and the finger pointing is almost sort of besides the point. It's what do we do next to actually see some tangible improvements in the situation, as awful as it looks right now.
William, no question. The immediate concern, as you said, is about the security of the Afghan people. But when you pull back a bit and look at the moving pieces here, you've got on the one hand China saying they're looking to seek friendly relations with this new Afghan government, the Taliban. You've got Russia also saying yesterday that they feel secure because they've already had these talks with the Taliban, that their staff at the embassy will remain secure as well. What does it mean for, number one, the U.S. position in the region and the alliances that are likely to come out of this?
The most important single dynamic that's affecting the greatest number of moving pieces right now in this part of the world, and I would argue the world at large, is the widespread perception of American withdrawal. And what we're seeing happening in Afghanistan only accelerates that perception, unfortunately. China said very openly when they welcomed a Taliban delegation to Beijing not long ago that they would recognize the Taliban government even if it took over by force. The Russians and the Iranians, who 20 years ago were on the other side fighting the Taliban, have also similarly made arrangements with the Taliban in advance of this moment. So in terms of the geopolitical landscape that emerges out of this, it's only detrimental to U.S. interests. And we haven't even gotten into a discussion of the most important U.S. interest at play, which is counterterrorism.
With that said, William, we are expecting the president to speak this afternoon. I mean, what is the message that he needs to give? Number one, as Americans look at those images playing out in Afghanistan, saying, well, what happened? Why were we there over the last 20 years? And then to your point, to speak to more of a global audience about U.S. credibility.
Yes, it's a high bar that the president will have to hurdle today. He's going to have to explain his rationale for leaving. He's also going to have to explain the process that he used for leaving, because while there's many Americans that I think that would feel sympathetic to his desire to end the war in Afghanistan, obviously the way that the war ended has left a lot to be desired. He'll also have to talk more generally about our continuing counterterrorism interests and what we've heard more recently about the prospect for al-Qaeda building a sanctuary again more rapidly than we had perhaps previously anticipated. That's a real danger and one that we have to stay on top of.
Brian, I know the story is still being written, but a lot of comparisons being drawn to the situation right now, to America's handling of these situations in Cuba, Iran, Vietnam. Is it too early to make those types of comparisons right now?
Yeah, I think it's a little too early. I mean, critics of Biden would call this the summer of surrender, not only on those fronts, but also the Nord Stream pipeline with Russia. And it's just too early to tell, quite frankly. And that's why I think it's important for President Biden to project a sense that he actually has a plan, knows what's going on in Afghanistan and in these other places, and it connects with what most Americans are concerned about. Last week, when all of these events were unfolding, he also announced a summit of democracies that he wants to hold at the end of this year. I think one question some people are asking is, okay, if we're going to see such backsliding in freedom and in places like Afghanistan, which wasn't a perfect democracy, but women actually could go to school and people had a voice in choosing their leaders, what do these events mean for that broader goal that Biden has set for himself, where he said his foreign policy is about democracy versus authoritarian governments or autocracies like China? And those sorts of things, I think, again, it's a little too early to tell because we're only about 6 months into a new administration. But it's hard to point to a major foreign policy success in the way that you could point to Biden's success on trying to deal with the pandemic and also the economic rebound in this country, which has been tremendous.
Brian, I wonder if you can expand on what this means for the Afghan people. I mean, you talk specifically about the impact this is likely to have on Afghan women and girls. We all know what the situation was pre-9/11 in the country. Is this an immediate return to that? What do you think the reality is going to look like on the ground?
Yeah, probably quite unlikely, because you have a whole generation of Afghans who actually grew up in a period of what I would say is imperfect freedom. Again, it wasn't a true sort of full-fledged democracy, but there was openness, and especially women and other sort of minorities that were disadvantaged. The sorts of things that we argue here at home, especially those on the left and progressives that are important, our values. That'll be a battle that I think will be fought amongst themselves, and I think the U.S. should actually be supportive of it. But we often just get caught in this country with slogans. You know, Biden and others have said there's no military solution to Afghanistan. Well, guess what? The Taliban have just demonstrated that they have at least a partial military solution to advance their agenda. So what we need to do is actually come up with a clearer plan of, if we're true to those ideals and want to support the people that actually work with us, at bare minimum, as Will said earlier, we need to actually help those people who are now at risk, the Afghans, just because of their guilt by association of working with us or other NGOs or other NATO allies. The fact that we flubbed that is also mystifying to me, and I think it should be part of our debate.
All right, Brian Katulis of American Progress and William Wexler of the Atlantic Council, thanks for joining Yahoo Finance this morning.